Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Ryan from the Starseed Sound. I hope you guys are doing well. And for this episode today, I'm going to be talking about a few different topics. First of all, thank you for tuning in if you are listening to this right now. I really appreciate you just, giving me a listen. So I've been doing this thing coming into 2019. I've always been a big reader and I've always loved to read. But this year I'm doing something different and I am making it a goal to read one book per week. Now I know that sounds daunting, right? Like, oh shit, one book a week, how do you have time for that? Blah, blah, blah. But I'm not the fastest reader, but I love to read. So I love to take in new information or learn about new things. So that's just kind of the motivation behind my goal of reading one new book every week of 2019. And so far, I'm on my third, since it's the third week of 2019. And I am reading, watch, I just finished already, Tuesday. I just finished Universal Laws, Unlocking the Secrets of the Universe, Seven Natural Laws of the Universe by Creed McGregor. And this is a really short book, so it was so simple for me to get that read of the week. I'll probably start into my next book, but I wanted to talk about this book, The Universal Laws, Unlocking the Secrets of the Universe, and kind of explain all the universal laws and what they are and how he explains them in the book. And also I wanted kind of to touch on dreams. I've been last week I read The Art of Dreaming by Carlos Castaneda, and if you're familiar with that author, he is very good. I highly suggest that you look into more of his works. But anyway, The Art of Dreaming is very interesting too, and I won't go so much into the book on that one, but I want to talk about how our dreams kind of impact us in subtle ways, in both, subtle and mysterious ways. So, and for the last thing, I also just wanted to talk about gratitude, gratitude and moving forward and manifesting. So thank you. Enjoy. All right, guys. So to start out, I want to talk about this book, The Universal Laws, Unlocking the Secrets of the Universe. Like I said, I just finished it today. It's literally like, 60 pages long. It's 60 pages long. And it's a short read, but it's a very key read. It's vital. This isn't taught in schools. Not many people have heard about the universal laws. We've heard about the physical laws, like Sir Isaac Newton, like, oh, the apple, falls, and whatever. I forgot that story, but how it goes, whatever. We all know these physical laws, like of gravity, or that Earth spins at a certain motion, or whatever. So we all know those, but what about the universal laws? And he describes seven of these universal laws in this book, and I'm going to go ahead and list them here for you guys. So the first law of the universe is the law of divine oneness. And the second law is the law of vibration. The third law is the law of attraction. Fourth is law of action, and the fifth is law of correspondence, the sixth is law of cause and effect, and the seventh is the law of rhythm. Now, these all correspond with each other. They all kind of complement each other, and they're all intertwined. And is that a word? I don't know. They're all, like, pretty much integral for your universal experience. And they're all constants, so to start out with the law of divine oneness, or the law of one, this is basically saying that your mind, body, and spirit are all connected with all things, to all things. So me and you are connected in some subtle instance, we are connected with each other, whether we know it or not, whether we're physically in contact with each other or just kind of spiritually engaging in the world that in which I live, in which you live. So the law of divine oneness pretty much teaches us that everything that Oh, there's a good quote on this. This is pretty much, this will describe the law of divine oneness for you guys. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. We are all differentiated aspects of the same being, right? So we are all, we all experience and live unique individual lives. But in fact, we are all from the same thing. We're all made of the same things. We are all the same in essence, different in expression. And that's kind of what I really think the law of divine oneness is here to teach us. And it's really important to become aware and become in tune with the law of divine oneness, because the synonym of divine oneness is love and bliss and compassion, and the antonym of oneness, of the law of oneness, the antonyms would be, like separation, hate, and all of this stuff. So if we can come in tune with the law of divine oneness, I really think we can change the universe for the better and change ourselves, and have a positive impact on the lives of others. The law of divine oneness is definitely one that kind of brings all of these other ones together, all of these other laws, all the six other laws together, because it's what is. We are what is. So, anyways, I'm gonna go into the second law, the law of vibration. Now, the law of vibration is very present in each in our lives, whether or not it's hidden or out in the open to us. So basically, the law of vibration states that everything's in constant motion. If you look at the microscopic level, we are all just atomic particles bouncing. Very slight vibrations of these atomic particles are happening infinitely. They're happening constantly and infinitely. And we can't always detect the bouncing around of these atoms and these molecules, except for with, like electron microscopes or whatnot. But everything's always in constant motion, and we're always giving off a certain vibration, and a certain frequency comes with that vibration. And basically, he used a really good analogy in this book about it. He said the law of vibration is a lot like a desk deteriorating over time, right? So the desk is always changing. It just looks like it's still, it has legs, it's not moving, it's constant, right? Yes, it's constant, but it's always changing. It's constantly changing. Because if you were to take that desk and, like, take that desk, say, in your room across from you right now, and visualize it, what it's going to look like in 100 years, it's going to look much different, isn't it? It's constantly being, weathered by, your external forces like air, wind, water, rust, whatever, pressure and things of that nature all change this desk. Even if it's insignificant at first, it's a significant change over a certain amount of time. And he kind of describes it as your vibration, or the law of vibration through you, as being, your energetic signature, right? So your so what you're giving out, like what vibration that you're vibrating out to the world, right, into others, is basically a direct reflection of how you're doing in life. And the law of vibration is very, very key if you want to kind of come in tune with your goals and with your aspirations, because you got to vibrate on the level that those goals and aspirations are on in order to actually see them come to fruition. So the law of vibration, guys, is very important in every aspect of life. There are certain people that we just don't vibe with. Their vibrations aren't aligned with our vibrations, and that's okay. We're not supposed to have the same or have similar, and we're not supposed to like everyone. We're not supposed to, and everyone's not supposed to like us. We just have different vibrations, right? So, If somebody's vibrating on a lower frequency than you, like they're engaging in, drinking a lot or, unhealthy, unethical behavior or something like that, they're vibrating at a lower frequency than you are. So, in order to, be where you want to be, you have to match the vibration of that which you want to achieve. So, yeah, I hope that one made sense. So far we have the law of oneness, the law of one, and the law of vibration. Okay, so the third universal law, guys, is the law of attraction. I think this is the most well-known of all the laws. The law of attraction basically says what we focus on, we get more of, okay? What we pay attention to, more of that comes into our lives. So, if we're thinking negative thoughts, more negative occurrences and happenings are going to appear in our lives. And conversely, if we're thinking positive thoughts, more positive thoughts and positive situations arise and positive occurrences and opportunities come into our lives because we are thinking, consciously or unconsciously, we are thinking, acting, and believing in positive, empowering ways, which sends messages to the universe that say, hey, like everything's okay, I'm doing fine, just keep it coming, just keep on doing what you're doing for me because life is really going my way. Even if things aren't always going your way, if you give out that if you give out that vibe, like it all comes down to the vibration again. If you give out that vibe and you're just like, yeah, attract what's more in my life because I love it. Not because I hate it. If you hate it, you're gonna attract more of what you hate. It's just like that thing when you get a new car, and then you start to see it everywhere, right? And then you start to see it everywhere. It's pretty much like when you have negative thoughts, then you're gonna start seeing negative everywhere. And so yeah, that's a very key thing to keep in mind, is that the law of attraction is literally guiding your life and guiding you towards your goals or away from your goals. So, right now, take an inventory of where you are and where you want to be and say, where am I right now that is hindering me or blocking me from, or rather, what am I doing right now that is hindering me or blocking me or making it more difficult for me to attract what it is I want or where it is I want to be in life. And really take an inventory of that and see what comes up and just be honest with yourself. It's okay, we're not perfect. Just be honest with yourself and where you need to focus more of your time, energy, and thoughts to. Because if we're just constantly focusing on the negative aspects of our reality, then that's just what we're going to manifest more of. But if we're focusing more on the positive aspects of our reality, then more positive opportunities are going to present themselves to us. And I firmly believe the law of attraction is one of the most important laws. That they're all very important, but it is a very important law for manifestation, especially if you create a certain lifestyle that just makes you happy and makes you want to ooze out your creativity and your spirit to others around you to spread love and light. And the law of attraction is great and all, but 360, it all comes around in the law of action, right? Because you can think and visualize and escape to wherever or whatever, can visualize about anything, but to actually accomplish that physical, that substantial thing, you must take action. And this is where the fourth law of the universe comes in. And the fourth law is the law of action. Okay? So the law of action basically states we must take action to get what we desire. And this is pretty self-explanatory, right? You have to go up to a tree and pick the fruit in order to eat the fruit. You desire eating the fruit, you see the tree, you go up to it and you pick that fruit, and then you eat it, okay? You exerted the law of action. You went over, walked over, or pranced over, whatever, crawled over, I don't care. You went over there and you picked that fruit and you fucking ate that shit because it was delicious, right? And that's basically what the law of action states, is that in order to have anything fruitful, in order to get or gain something, you must take action, and you must take action in a manner which resonates with that vibrating frequency. So, and you must also align yourself, with your desire beforehand, and kind of set your sights on, okay, this is what I want to do, this is how I want to do it. There's obviously going to be unexpected roadblocks and turns on the way there, but I'm going to start and I'm going to take action on this goal, and it's going to manifest through time because I have a positive outlook on everything and I'm taking action. And by taking action, I'm putting this into motion. So say you want to write a book, and your book is about whatever. You don't even know what your book was. Okay, you start with a title. Okay, a title, got it. And then you start with an outline. What are your chapters going to be? You start, oh, how many chapters do I want to have? 12 chapters. Okay, then what's the name of each chapter? Here's the name of each chapter. Okay, cool. What am I going to talk about in these chapters? Look at the chapter title, and that kind of brings it up, and that kind of gets you into the rhythm. Like, oh yeah, this is what I'm going to talk about because this is the chapter title. I talk about this, like I talk about spirituality in the spiritual chapter, or I talk about fucking drinking LaCroix in the LaCroix chapter. LaCroix's bomb, by the way. I don't know if any of you guys drink LaCroix. Anyway, yeah, the law of action, very important. It is very important that we exercise the law of action because the law of action is basically what is allowing us to have anything worthwhile in the material world, okay? Because, we, however much we don't want to admit it, we all want some amount of material comfort, right? A house, all the necessities, yes, but also, some of us want the newest game system, right? Some of us want to travel more. Some of us want to spread our message on a bigger platform, and all these things take action to manifest, and that's actually really comforting. That action is there because action kind of motivates us and it gets us up. Have you ever noticed after working out or after working all day and you've been on your feet all day, you actually feel more energized, or after moving for a certain amount of time, whereas you're like so sluggish beforehand, right? Like you just woke up, you've been kind of you slugging across the house for about an hour after waking up and just haven't really done anything, sat on the couch, and you feel sluggish and tired, and it just takes that one push. You just gotta go outside, go outside and walk your dog. Start for 5 minutes. Oh, okay, yeah, I could go for a lot more. Boom. And then next thing you know, you're out for 35 minutes, and you feel more energized while you're acting, while you're moving and using energy, because energies are being released. And you're also just activating different parts of your body that were pretty much dormant to that part of the day, until that part of the day. So the law of action is very important. And now, obviously, we can have all of the, desires and goals we want, but if we don't act on them, nothing will come of them. And we also need to be weary. He goes on in this book, we need to be weary of fear and laziness. Fear and laziness are the law of action's arch nemesis. They wreak havoc on the law of action's world. They are when you really, like after a motivational speech, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking do this. I'm gonna create this. I'm gonna build this business. I'm gonna really fucking do this. And after a couple of days, it kind of dies off, and you start, watching five series of Netflix over a week, and you start to, and you start to, just kind of go in your lazy, unmotivated patterns again. And this has happened to me numerous amount of times. I'm sure you can relate. But the law of action is open. It doesn't mean when you're if you're coming back from a phase of inaction, you can't start acting again in the right ways and in ways that will propel you further along your path of growth and development. And I really think the law of action is, is a lot of people's hardest thing to overcome, right? Like they have this idea of what they want, they have this vision of what they want, but maybe they just have trouble acting on their ideas or visions or concepts because of, perceived lacks or perceived unworthy feelings, right? So like, oh, I don't have enough money to start this business, or I don't have the capabilities to do this. But all it takes is one action towards that desired goal or outcome, and the next thing you know it, you look up in 2, 10, 20 years and you're a lot fucking closer, or you've accomplished that goal. You're a lot closer to that goal, or you've accomplished it and you've actually surpassed the previous goal because you've just made these small incremental steps. Like reading one word at a time when you're supposed to read a book a week. Not so safe. Anyway, okay, yeah, that's the law of action. So we've covered four of the universal laws. If you can read them back to yourself right now, I will be very impressed. But they are the law of oneness, the law of vibration, the law of attraction, and the law of action. The fifth universal law is the law of correspondence. Okay, the law of correspondence is basically saying the principles of physics all have opposites, right? So, as above, so below. Though the law of correspondence is also called, known as the law of equivalence. So it's all about balance and it's all like corresponding, right? So there's dark and there's light. Okay, there's heavy and there's light. There's up and there's down. There's the sun sets, the sun rises, the moon comes out, the sun comes out. So all of these things are the law of correspondence. And the law of correspondence is what we live by, every single day, right? You probably go to sleep at a corresponding time to the time you went to sleep the night before, hopefully. Well, if you're anything like me, probably not. Like, it's so fucked up. But anyways, for the most part, you're probably keeping a somewhat routine sleep schedule, or number of hours of sleep that you get per night probably remains pretty steady if you're any sane human being, which I am not, but you know what I mean. Anyway, yeah, so the law of correspondence basically is saying that all the physical laws of the universe have an opposite. So a universe is created, a universe is destroyed. You add weight to this scale. Oh, the corresponding scale is gonna go up because now you've made the load heavier over on this end of the scale, and now the lighter end is gonna go up because that heavier end is weighing it down. So the law of correspondence is re really, really similar to the sixth law, which is the law of cause and effect. And the law of cause and effect is essentially karma. I'm sure all of you know what karma is, but it's basically saying if you give out and do positive things in the world, you will get positive things back. And if you give out and do negative energy and do negative things in the world, then negative things will start to happen to you. So if you have a positive outlook on the world, then you're going to have a positive outcome. If you have a negative outlook on the world, you will most likely attract negative outcomes to your life. This is, very similar to the law of attraction, obviously. But the law of cause and effect is just very visceral, very real. And it affects our day-to-day lives. I mean, like all of these do, but if if you do something positive for someone, you like help an old woman cross the street, like that cliche, right? You're helping out, you're helping hand, then someone might be more likely to help you in your lives because you might be more likely to attract someone to help you along your journey somewhere because you help somebody else. And I think what's really crucial to know about the law of cause and effect is that it doesn't matter who sees what you do. If you're the only one who knows that you did a certain thing, karma's still there. The equal and or opposite effect of that cause that you caused will be played out in, your future or in the present or whatever. So, yeah, the law of cause and effect is karma in a nutshell. And it's very self-explanatory. Just to not make this podcast too long, I'm gonna continue on, but we've discussed six of the universal laws, and now we're gonna go into the seventh one, the law of rhythm. Okay. The law of rhythm is rising and falling. So it's the classic pendulum swing. The pendulum swings to the left, and then just as much as it swung to the left, it swings to the right. So they're equal swings, right? It equally swings to the left as it swings to the right. So, and at the top and at the peak of every subsequent swing, so once it swings to the left and at the peak of that swing to the left, there's a slowing down and a stopping motion, right? And then you recharge, you reboot, and then boom, as soon as you know it, boom, back to the right. And then as you peak at the right, at the right swing of the pendulum, you peak at there, it slows down and you finally reach that stopping point, and then boom, okay, boom, back to action, boom. And then it's just this balance, this equal th these equal forces, coming out in your lives. And so yeah, the law of rhythm, is basically what governs the seasons, right? The earth spins at a certain time and it tilts at certain angles, certain times of the year, and wherever you are in the world, the tilt determines the season, right? So if I'm tilting more towards the sun, and I'm, or if I'm tilting up, and I'm on the southern hemisphere, if the Earth is tilting up, and I'm on the southern hemisphere, pretty far away from the equator, it's most likely going to be winter, right? And if I'm tilting towards the sun, right, and I'm on the northern hemisphere, right, then it's most likely gonna be summer or hot or whatever. Anyways, well, yeah, I hope that fucking made sense. I don't know. Tried to go science teacher 101 on your bitches. But anyways, so those are the seven universal laws, guys. This book was a really short read. I highly recommend it. I mean, you probably don't need to pay $10 or whatever I paid for it because it's so short. But you can just look these things up online and study them yourself. Some people say there's 14, some people say there's two, some people say there's seven. I kind of really like these seven that he mapped out in this book. So the seven universal laws, the first law being the law of divine oneness, the law of one. Second law of vibration. The third one, law of attraction. And the fourth universal law, the law of action. The fifth one, law of correspondence. The sixth one, law of cause and effect. And the seventh universal law being the law of rhythm. Like I said, these are all intertwined. These are all connected, in the web of the universe. And they're all playing out right now in real time as we speak, whether we know it or not, whether we're aware of it or we aren't. They all play out, and the more you're aware of these laws, the more they you start to be mindful of what you're giving out there and how it's reflecting on what you're giving back, what you're feeling internally and how it's affecting your outer world. So I think these are really important things to know, and that's why I'm sharing this with you guys. I hope you like this portion of the podcast. Later on in this podcast, I'm gonna discuss dreaming, so stay tuned, please. Thank you. Dreaming. What comes to your mind when I say the word dreaming? Is it the dreams that you have in the day while you're sitting at class, while you're sitting in the math class, wishing you were somewhere else? Or is it the weird, mysterious, otherworldly happenings that go on in your mind while you're sleeping or while you're unconscious? Well, for me, dreaming is both. I think dreaming is all around us. I think it is the main premise of our existence. I think we're in this physical dream that's very real, very very concrete and physical, but I also think that we occupy other worlds when we go off into slumber, or when we kind of go into other higher consciousness states. And so, anyways, without rambling too much, I just want to kind of reflect and also invigorate some of your ideas about dreamings or dreams in the past or present and future. And I've really noticed this. I've always been pretty, well, not always, obviously, but that would be terrible, like right out the womb. Since, about the age of like 14, I've like smoked marijuana almost every day, pretty regularly, with, a few month breaks here and there. But for the most part, like throughout a lot of high school, much of that, I was just smoking marijuana every day, and all of college pretty much. And now, like I did today, but I don't smoke too often. And anyway, where this all plays into it is that marijuana actually, I think, creates a chemical, or it interacts in the brain somehow to block you from entering REM sleep. So like the overusage of marijuana can inhibit your ability to go into REM. This is, I don't know the exact scientific cause behind it, but I just know that main premise, that if you smoke some marijuana before bedtime, you're less likely to remember your dreams and or go into REM sleep, because that's when you dream, is when you're in REM and rapid eye movement sleep. And anyways, I've kind of noticed now that I'm dialing back, I'm starting a new job, and I'm kind of, getting the hang of everything, getting trained and everything. So I've dialed back my marijuana usage, and I've noticed that my dreams have spiked, in occurrence, in length, in detail, in lucidity, and they've spiked in every aspect because I'm remembering them a lot more. I'm remembering more of them more often. And they're very, very telling. I think they're very significant and very synchronistic as well. Like just last night, I woke up and I remember feeling like I had climbed all the way to the top of this building, or to the top of this structure. And for some reason, I knew it was like 90 feet, or like, what, like 100, or some kind of, ridiculously high building. 10 stories, let's just say 10 stories. And I knew it was very high, and I knew, I guess from my physical body, my physical body and my subconscious transferred over to my energetic body, which is, what I'm dreaming from, that if I fall, if I jump from this tall 90-foot building, I will most likely die. I will have fun on the way down, and then I will die. And there was people down there, right? There was people down there, like, shouting, like, "Come on, come on, yeah, it's okay, okay," or like waving. They weren't shouting, but I saw them waving, like, "Yeah, come down, it's fine." And there was a huge, tall ladder that, you climbed up to get up to this one spot. And I just had this overly overwhelming hesitation. Obviously, I don't want to fucking jump off of this ledge from the structure. I'm gonna die. And I remember fighting this and fighting this and fighting it, fighting the temptation to jump, and also resisting that temptation to jump. And there's a, there's a resistance to this, so I did end up jumping. But sorry, my mom was literally knocking at the door. But there was a resistance to this jumping, but I did it anyway. And I think that sent a really powerful message to me, like, when the time comes, when you've climbed the top of the structure you are presently involved in, or encompassing or on top of, leap, jump, have faith, trust. Trust the universe has your back. Trust that everything will be okay. And I think that's the message that I took from that dream. And I know it's very vague. Like, you could say that with anything. Oh, yeah, trust, yeah, next, okay, whatever. Yeah, it sounds fucking cliche as hell. But, I really do believe in synchronicities and, higher callings, So, and, I've been going through this. I live in Iowa. I've lived in Iowa my entire life. And, I'm having the urge to kind of save up a lot of money and then just leap, go somewhere new, go to a new state, California, Colorado, Texas, New Hampshire, what, I don't care. Just go to a new state, get out of your comfort zone of Iowa, and really leap and leap into the unknown, the uncertain, with trust and with faith. And that's kind of that's what's been the reoccurring process and thought of mind in my world. So, what I'm kind of going at, or what I'm getting at here, guys, is to really trust your instinct, trust your intuition. So, if you, and also trust your dreams. I know you want to be wary of some of these dreams, right? They can be fucked up, like nightmares, we all have them. But go with what resonates. So, if a message resonates, and if signs and signals in your dreams really resonate with where you're trying to go or where you are, listen and heed their warnings or heed their calls, and jump into them and start taking action towards those, and see where you end up. I promise, if you go forth, with your vision, with love and with light and with positive, empowering energy, you will find that you will be exactly where you're meant to be, where you're meant to be, and with whom you're meant to be with. So, dreaming, it's a very misunderstood thing in this world, I think. Like, the actual, state of dreaming in REM sleep I'm referring to is very misunderstood. We began to, learn a lot more about it. Like, you can have up to several dreams a night, and you can, pretty much every night you dream, it's just a matter of how long you've been in REM and whether or not you remember them. So if you don't remember your dreams, it doesn't mean you didn't dream. It just means you didn't remember your dreaming, if that makes sense. And we also know that lifestyle choices and activity and your mental, physical and emotional diets all have a very profound effect on your dreams, on what's in the dreams, and how often you do actually dream. And what you attract in these dreams is also a reflection of your inner and outer worlds. So really look and take note, right, on how often you dream. And if, and how often, obviously, so how often you remember your dreams, right? First of all, and then how many dreams you often remember when you do remember a dream. So do you remember two, three, four different dreams that night, or what? I've had instances where I can remember five different settings and scenarios and five completely seemingly different dreams. And so kind of take note of that. And also kind of look at what are in these dreams, who's in these dreams, what message is trying to be conveyed, or what signals are being sent your way in these dreams. You know, oftentimes subtly, oftentimes very subliminally, oftentimes you need to look for these dreams. Like you're looking for, you know, a pink ear of corn in a field of yellow corn. Just look for that one signal, and you know, it will point you the right way. It'll direct you where you want to go, and just align with the feelings of, you know, what you're embodying in the dream. And I think your reality will start to shift, and as a result, your dreams will start to shift for the better, you know, if you're focusing on the better things in life, on the more positive aspects. And I think a lot of us want to do that. So, yeah, I'm not going to go on about this topic forever, but dreaming is very intriguing for me. And I'll definitely talk about it more in the upcoming podcast. But for now, just kind of, yeah, take this little 10-minute segment about dreaming, and allow it to instill this curiosity again, and kind of, you know, kind of heighten this curiosity that you have surrounding dreaming, or that you used to have and now you have again because you've heard my goofy fucking ass talking about dreaming. So yeah, guys, listen, learn, love, and be attentive of your dreams, and they will teach you a lot. They will teach you infinitely more than you could have ever imagined. All right, guys, this will be the third and final topic of this long form podcast. Let me know how you like this longer podcast. This will probably be like, oh, 45, 50 minutes at the end. Hopefully not an hour. I don't know how long these things usually go, but yeah, I'm just experimenting with these longer podcasts, you know, with people that are just kind of on their morning commute or coming home or in the gym. I know that you often stay there for close to an hour, if not surpassing an hour. And I think that's a really good time for you to tune in and have this long form podcast and this virtual conversation with me. So let me know how you like it. Anyways, I'm going to talk about, in this last segment, about gratitude and moving towards your goals and the manifestation of them. Kind of, you know, similar to some of the universal laws. Well, to all of them, I guess, since we're in the universe. But gratitude is really the thing I think attracts everything and anything good in life. Gratitude for where you are, gratitude for who you are, gratitude for what you have is, you know, unsurpassed. It is literally the most important thing that you could embody. Just embody a grateful soul and embody a grateful spirit, and have, you know, a grateful attitude, and your purpose and passion will, you know, kind of propel you into the avenues of life that you need to go down. And I think having an attitude of gratitude is literally the most important thing you could ever do for yourself and for others. I mean, when we're grateful and not hateful, the world, it conspires with us, not against us. You know, just being grateful for the little things, like being grateful for your car, being grateful for your job that you know you may have had for a while, and you may have been taking for granted some days, right? You just hop in your car, you expect it to turn on, you expect it to work. But it's a privilege to have a car, and a lot of people would love to have a car, but they don't. You know, it is, you know, also a privilege to have shelter overhead, to have food in the fridge, to have people that love you and support you. It's just be grateful for all of that. You know, the seemingly little things are just the biggest, most enormous things in life. You know, and be grateful for being able to pet your dog, and being able to move your mouth, and move your legs, and lift weights, and run, and swim, and hike, and bike, and kayak, and you know, look at birds, be out in nature. Be grateful that you have the opportunity to be grateful. Be grateful that you're breathing, A lot of people didn't wake up today that, thought that they were going to wake up today. A lot of people didn't. And, a lot of people are just waking up today. So it's definitely a surreal thing when you kind of look at how abundant and how grateful you really are, or how privileged you really are. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably listening to it on some kind of electronic platform, whether it be smartphone or a computer or, whatever, TV, whatever. You have something to be grateful for, this device that you can look up anything, ask any question, and boom, you get the fucking answer. Like, when have we're in such an abundant age right now, man. This is the abundant age. We just have an abundance of information and resources at our fingertips, and it's wild. We should all just be eternally fucking grateful. And now I realize you can't be grateful all the time, right? Oh, you got that fucking ex-boyfriend. Oh, you got that friend who always brings you down. Oh, that job, or the person at your job, this and that, whatever. Yeah, okay, you might get knocked off your fucking gratitude horse every now and then, but you gotta get back on that bitch. It's gonna fucking go kicking and screaming and fucking trying to knock you off its saddle, but get on that fucking horse of gratitude and ride that shit to the finish line, man. You need to have a grateful attitude to attract more grateful, abundant individuals and circumstances into your life. This all comes full circle with the universal laws, obviously. But just fucking, just try to be grateful, guys. Being grateful is the number one way to move towards your goals and then to move into the manifestation of your goals. Because when we're grateful for what we have, we can channel that energy into what we want and what we desire. And then, as a byproduct of that, the manifestation of that want and that goal and that desired outcome comes into fruition, comes into reality. So, guys, I'm just making this little segment because I just see a lot of I see a lot of ungratitude in the world. I see a lot of disingenuous, kind of malicious thinking and ideals and taken for granted. I see a lot of things taken for granted in this world, and I am myself, guilty of some of this too. I'm not perfect, but I also see a lot of gratitude, and I see a lot of giving and a lot of giving love and giving time and stuff of that nature that the human spirit and just any spirit, any animal can appreciate. And if you're grateful for the natural world which you're living, if you're grateful for the air that you're breathing and the water you're drinking, the food you're eating and the house you're living in, then you are fucking infinitely abundant. You are the epitome of just someone who is gonna show the way. If you're grateful for those things, then you're going to be grateful for the other things in life that make life worth living, like long-term relationships and being happy and exploring and discovering internal and outer worlds and all this stuff, man. So, guys, my advice of the fucking week is to be grateful. Be grateful for that job that you don't absolutely love, but that's giving you that paycheck so that you can get closer and manifest what you really fucking love to do, your purpose and passion. Be grateful for that person or that girl or guy who you broke up with and who you had a really hard time with. Be grateful for them because they are preparing you and prepared you and seasoned you so that you could match with the right exact person and manifest the most beautiful, wonderful, abundant relationship. Be grateful for your ears, for your eyes, for your, senses. Be grateful for everything, Be grateful, guys. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you for listening, and peace. I wish you prosperity, and be grateful, guys. Gratitude is the game.